fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the January 7th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. If you tuned in to Wednesday's show, you heard Ghanaian defender Jonathan Mensah talk about some of his football achievements in a spicy conversation with Yawafusu Larbi in a Craw. Yao asked Jonathan about lifting the Major League Soccer Cup last month as the captain of the Columbus Crew. And Yao also noted how Jonathan lifted the FIFA Under 20 World Cup 12 years ago in Egypt. In the final, Ghana beat Brazil 4-3 on penalty kicks. The Ghanaian player who scored the winning penalty kick in Cairo recently announced his retirement from international football, as we hear now from Yawafusu Larbi in Accra. Sporty greetings, Yao!
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Emmanuel Ajimambedu was one of the most prominent midfielders of his era. The man could do many things in his role and still score goals. He played 76 times for the Black Stars in a career that spanned 11 years. He scored 11 goals along the way, and there were some fine ones too. So when he decided to hang up his boots from the Black Stars, there was good praise for him after the announcement. The midfielder did on his personal Twitter account. When Ajimambedu started in Brekum in Ghana's middle belt as a youth player, little did he know that his career would go down as one of the best. He played in one FIFA World Cup, and in 2009, he won the Under-20 FIFA World Cup with Ghana scoring the winning penalty.
Africa are one kick away from their first ever success at the FIFA Under-20 World Cup. If Badu can score this penalty, is it Africa? Is it Africa? It is! Ghana have won the competition for the first time.
So let me tell you this interesting story. We left with three players, post myself, David Daddy, and Opoku Ajimai. So when it came to that kick, I asked both of them because
it came to the final kick.
Yes, yeah. I asked David if he won. He said no, because at that time he was playing Randers in Denmark. Then I asked Opoku Ajimai. Then he also said no. Then you see, something went through my mind. I said, hey. Those who are playing in Europe said no. So just imagine if I made this one, I will come to Accra and drive from Accra to Kumasi to Joe Katogo. At that time, I think they will finish me in Ghana.
Exactly.
But I think I gathered the courage. I said, okay, it's my time for me to do something for my nation, myself, and my family. So let me just go for it. Thankfully, I went and the goalkeeper made it so easy for me.
That penalty has since been synonymous to his name, and he amassed a ton of fans for himself after that. On his retirement from national team duties, Bedu believes this is the right time to call his international career over.
I took this decision 6 months ago.
6 months ago?
Yeah. I wanted to concentrate on club level. It's been like 2 years I've not been in the team. I started playing for the Blasters around like 2009. Consistent for 9 solid years. 5 AFCONs, 1 World Cup. I think I have done my part. I tried to win African Cup for the nation 5 consecutive times, and I couldn't. There's a saying, if a man goes to war for 3 times, fortunately for me, I have gone for 5 times, and I think it's time for me to leave the team for the new generation to try and win something for the nation.
Bedu has played for Brekum Arsenal and Asante Kotoko in Ghana, Udinese and Elas Verona in Italy, via Bursaspor in Turkey. He is without a club at the moment and will be looking to seal a deal for himself before the January transfer window closes. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Hello, Jonathan Mensah here, Black Stars defender and Columbus Crew captain. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
The Nigeria Wrestling Federation will stage an invitational tournament from January 15th to January 18th in Yenagoa, the capital of Bayelsa State. To find out more, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the federation's president, 2000 Olympic champion Daniel Igali.
The Nigeria Wrestling Federation, after a 10-month lag in competitions occasioned by the COVID, have decided to have our athletes compete for the first time in almost a year. The aim is to have the top five athletes in the 10 Olympic classes that we intend to feature at the Olympic qualifiers to have quality matches in the middle of January this year. So essentially, we're going to have about 50 athletes that will gather at the Theater of Wrestling in Yenagoa to compete under COVID-19 protocols. We will have very few coaches from the selected athletes, very few referees, and very few accredited media because we want to fully observe the COVID protocols. In all, we expect 50 athletes to participate, or maybe slightly more, maybe about the maximum 55 athletes. We are going to have a rapid COVID test a day before the competition, and that will involve all participants, including accredited staff, media, wrestlers, referees. We intend at the most to have about 80 persons in the hall at each time, and the hall can only accommodate, in our view, about 150 to 200 persons. So that is the goal for the Champion of Champions competition in Yenagoa this year.
Is the Champion of Champions tournament part of preparations for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Clearly, the goal is to enhance our Olympic preparations. You know, we have the Oceania Africa Olympic qualifiers that's coming up the first week of April in El Jadida, Morocco. So our desire is to have all athletes who we are going to feature at that tournament to have a taste of real competition before then. So I think this is geared towards our Olympic athletes who have the goal to qualify for the Olympics this year. By having them compete this early signals the intention of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation to also come up with similar programs virtually every month so that our athletes can be in competition mode going forward. And we're also hoping that even the referees, by coming to officiate for the first time in 10, 11 months, will more or less get back in that frame of mind, looking ahead to the rest of the year.
Do you still have qualifying tournaments for athletes for the Tokyo Olympic Games?
Yes, we still have some Olympic qualifying events. As I mentioned earlier, from the 2nd to the 11th of April this year, we have the Oceania Africa Olympic qualifying tournament and the African Championships, both taking place in El Jadida this year. So we have directly identified those athletes who will participate in that tournament, and we are giving them the opportunity of competing against the top five athletes in their weight classes. And in some weight classes, we're even bringing some athletes from other weight classes to go in there and give them good matches. So this essentially is preparation for the Olympic qualifiers coming up. Aside that, we also have another World qualifying tournament in Bulgaria, and that is in May. That is in the second week of May. So those are the two Olympic tournaments we have. But aside the Olympic qualifying tournaments, we also have a seeding tournament in Poland, and that's in June. So everything we're doing now is geared towards how best to prepare our athletes and how best to seed them for the Olympics. Our goal is to have a couple of athletes seeded in the top three, top four essentially, so it gives them an opportunity not to meet the top four until they get into the semifinals of the Olympics.
That's Daniel Igali, who won a gold medal at the 2000 Olympics in Sydney, Australia. Daniel is the president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Yenagoa, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Daniel Igale, president of the Nigeria Wrestling Federation, world and Olympic champion. I want to say a big shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. While you're visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
In African boxing, twin brothers in Uganda are doing what they love best, training young fighters to hopefully be future champions. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala tells us more.
It is a good thing to be coached by an experienced coach, but it's even much better to be trained by two experienced boxing twin brothers, says Ugandan boxer John Katongole. The two twins trained Katongole simultaneously at a local gym here in Kampala. Hussein Khalil, the 1982 Commonwealth gold medalist, dominated boxing in Uganda before changing alliance to Kenya and later joined paid ranks both in the United States and Europe. Khalil vividly remembers his journey and says not even the political instabilities at the time would hamper him to pursue his dream of becoming a boxing legend in East Africa.
I was a Ugandan champion in 1980. I became a light flight champion. By then, our president, he said he has banned all the sports for about a year. Yeah, there was the sports, this boxing could not go on until we get everything organized. Then the Kenyans say, no, why don't you come and join us? I joined a club called Kenya Breweries. I got there and then I became, they are preparing for the Olympics in 1980, which was going to take place in Moscow, USSR. But unfortunately, Kenya boycotted the Olympics. Then we had a tournament called the Kenya Golden Cup, the countries which boycotted the Olympics.
The tournament that was in part sponsored by the great boxing legend Muhammad Ali attracted hundreds of boxers from over 40 countries across the globe. Khalil won bronze and says that was the start to even more success locally and internationally for the years that followed.
Participated in the big tournaments like African Championship 3 times. I got two times, I boxed and I got silver gold medals in lightweight. I got two gold medals in 1980, 83 and 84. Then I went for the Commonwealth Games 1983. It was in Brisbane, Australia, where I got a gold medal in lightweight.
His success influenced his number one fan, his twin brother, Hassan Khalil, who was then a footballer.
That time I switched from football to boxing because it is individual sports. I switched to the boxing. If you push yourself, you can be a champion. I have about 174 fights since I started boxing. I had 174 fights. I lost only 4 fights. I won only 170 fights. I pushed myself.
Along the way, the Khalil brothers say they learned different tactics that they decided to come and impact in the young generation when they retired from boxing in 1993.
1994, that's the time we started with very few boys. All the boys came and said, okay, we started. Let's try and see and produce some good boys. We were lucky in the final, in the national championship, we took about three boys. Two of them got to the finals, and one became a Ugandan champion. That was Michael Obin.
They started East Coast Boxing Gym, located in Naguru, a Kampala suburb, that has since produced hundreds of boxers, many of who have won both national and international fights. Budding fighter John Katongole says he's assured he'll win medals because of the skills he gets from the two coaches.
When you move with champions, you become a champion mentally, physically, emotionally. Yeah, my coach is a Commonwealth medalist. My coach has a good record in amateur, and also he has produced a lot of champions. I am the national fly champion 2019, and it's because of East Coast Boxing Club.
The Hariri boxing coaches pride in what they do and say as twins, it is easy to motivate boxers.
Whenever I see a boxer, I tell him, how you champ? They feel proud. They feel well and good, and then it encourages them. He train him how to attack, but me, I train him how to defend himself.
The two twins say Uganda has many talented boxers. They believe one day their boxing club will produce boxers to dominate boxing nationally and internationally. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and the artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And here's a fun VOA fact for our Voice of America listeners. Music Time in Africa was founded 56 years ago in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. And it's the VOA's longest-running English-language program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. In National Basketball Association news, Golden State Warriors guard Stephen Curry and Philadelphia 76ers forward Tobias Harris are the league's Players of the Week for week two of the new season. Harris averaged more than 23 points and almost 10 rebounds a contest as Philadelphia won all three of its games. And Curry, a two-time NBA Most Valuable Player, averaged almost 40 points and 6 rebounds a game as Golden State recorded 2 wins and 1 loss during the week. On January 3rd, Curry fired in a career-high 62 points in a 137-122 victory over the Portland Trailblazers. The 32-year-old Curry missed most of last season because of injury. After his explosive night against Portland, Steph said it felt great, and he looks forward to more big scoring games.
There's nothing really needed to be said before tonight, and there's nothing I need to say afterward. It's just, like I said, I got a lot left in the tank, and just thankful to God that I'm healthy and able to be back out there playing and enjoying the game that I love and, you know, surprising myself from time to time. So it's pretty awesome to kind of have a night like this, obviously get the win and see where it goes from here.
Steph Curry's head coach on the Warriors, Steve Kerr, was certainly impressed with his 62-point scoring night.
Well, it was just a brilliant performance, and you know, we've seen Steph do so many things here over the years, so many amazing nights at Oracle and now here at Chase. We are incredibly blessed as an organization to have Steph leading the way, and what a performance tonight.
Meanwhile, Coach Kerr also harshly criticized President Trump and his followers who stormed the U.S. Capitol here in Washington Wednesday in a chaotic political protest.
You know, thousands of white people can storm the Capitol and not face any sort of obstruction from police, but heaven forbid a 12-year-old black boy carry a toy gun in a park, or a 15-year-old black boy walk home from a store with a bag of Skittles, or a young black male run through the neighborhood on a jog. Heaven forbid any of those things happen, but it's okay for thousands of traitors basically storming the Capitol, and we're not gonna put up any resistance. We're just going to allow it. So a blatant display of the inequity in our country. The truth matters in our country and in anywhere, in any circumstance, because of the repercussions if we allow lies to spread. And if we enable people in power to lie, you all of a sudden have millions of people who are doubting an election that was certified in every state. We had 7 to 8 million more people vote for Biden than for Trump. Every state has certified those results. Every court appeal has been turned down. A legitimate election is suddenly questioned by millions of people, including many of the people who are leading our country in government, because we've decided to, over the last few years, allow lies to be told. So this is who we are. This is, you know, you reap what you sow.
Golden State Warriors coach Steve Kerr spoke in San Francisco, California, where the Warriors lost to the Los Angeles Clippers Wednesday night, 108-101. Elsewhere, Washington Wizards guard Bradley Beal followed Steph Curry in becoming the second NBA player to score 60 points in a game this season, but it was not enough, as the Wizards lost to the host Philadelphia 76ers, 141-136. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Bradley Beal became the second NBA player to post a 60-point performance this season, but it didn't stop the 76ers from improving to 7-1 as Joel Embiid scored 38 points in a win over the Wizards, 141-136.
I just did my job, man. And like I said, I always give credit to my teammates. You know, we made the right passes, and, you know, I just finished.
Seth Curry hit six straight three-pointers in the first half and finished with 28 points.
It was a good offensive team, one of the best offensive teams in the league. So it's just a matter of us tonight. We had to keep scoring. We had some lows where we stopped scoring a little bit and we let them back in the game. But that's what happens in the NBA, and we had the fortitude to stick it out and get the win.
Ben Simmons had 17 points and 12 assists, while Tobias Harris scored 19. Beal went 20 of 25 from the floor, made 7 of 10 three-pointers, and went 13 of 15 from the line to match former Wizard Gilbert Arenas for the franchise single-game points record.
I don't count any of my, you know, career highs that have been in losses, so I don't give a damn. You throw right out the window with the other two or three I had. I just want to win. You know, sometimes it forces me to score 50, 60, whatever the case may be, but I just want to win or whatever it looks like.
I'm Dave Ferry.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bubu music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndumbulu and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. and it's happening right here. Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC right after the international news.
Thanks, David. That's David Vandy, the host of the VOA's African Beat music show. On the tennis beat, 2020 Australian Open champion Sophia Kenin of the USA opened her season Thursday with a straight sets victory over China's Yang Xiaowan in the first round of the Abu Dhabi Open. Joining us with more details on Kenin as she warms up for her Australian title defense is VOA's Gwen Uten. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Last year, 1 month before coronavirus lockdowns were enforced and global sports calendar suspended, American Sophia Kenin clinched the Australian Open and her first Grand Slam title. And now the defending champion is warming up for her return to Melbourne at the Abu Dhabi Women's Tennis Open. And ahead of her opening round win on Thursday, Kenin told reporters, despite the coronavirus pandemic, she's excited to play in her first tournament of the year.
I think it's good to have some practice matches in. Hopefully, I'll have a few here. Australia's going to be interesting, you know, 2 weeks quarantine, but we'll see how it's going to go there. But, I'm excited to be here. It was kind of like a last-minute decision. So, yeah, a few people asked me, like, oh, why are you going? So I just said, just to get out of the house, I guess, and just get some matches in.
Kenin, along with her fellow competitors, have been kept inside a bio bubble in Abu Dhabi, one of the restrictions in place to help prevent the spread of COVID-19. And as Kenin mentioned, once she arrives in Australia, she'll be quarantined for 2 weeks and only allowed to leave her hotel room for 5 hours each day to train. Kenin calls the protective measures harsh, but says they have not dampened her spirits about the 2021 season.
I mean, it is what it is. Of course, that's not the most ideal situation. I would, you know, obviously wish we could go out or you know, walk around the city, but we can't. I mean, like I said, it is what it is, but I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy to be traveling somehow, trying to, you know, keep it as normal as possible. But the rules are quite harsh, but it's for everyone. I mean, it's crazy what's going on with the whole virus. So I hope they'll find a vaccine and hopefully this virus is going to be done.
Last season, strict protocols meant many tennis tournaments were played without fans. Kenin hopes this season will see spectators return to the stands, even if their numbers are limited.
I thought it was going to be like full crowds there, but if it's limited. But played Cincinnati US Open, it's completely different. You know, the energy, it's like so quiet. You're like in ghost town. You know, it's not the ideal atmosphere. Of course, I love the fans. I love when they come out and support me. I use their energy to help me. I play better with them, obviously. So, I'm going to be super excited to have some kind of crowd, you know, to try to go back to somewhat normal.
And Kenin is no doubt hoping to stay at the top of her game. Last year, the 22-year-old broke into the top 10. And in December, she was named the WTA Player of the Year. And Kenin says if the pressure to defend her title becomes too great, she'll seek advice from someone who knows what it's like to be at the top, world number one tennis champion Novak Djokovic.
I definitely think I can talk to Novak, since, you know, we started talking and we're talking. So I think that would be helpful, you know, since we're both defending champions. And I think he would give me some great advice. And he did give me great advice against the final, like, because obviously we were practicing next to each other. And then, you know, he came up to me, was really nice about it, and, you know, told me some things before the final, which was, you know, it was special since, you know, I obviously was crazy nervous. And he's, you know, he told me some things, which I will not disclose since I'd rather keep it secret.
Well, it's no secret that Kenin is set to defend her title at the upcoming Australian Open, scheduled for February 8th, where she will be among the top seeds. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. January 7th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.